Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
It's Mission 16W. Bring the cup home to Denver. Getting you set for tonight's Game 4 in St. Louis, powered by Superbook Sports. Here's Stokely and Zach.
To think about it, it is right here, it is right now.
All in love so strange, said you now know.
How you doing today, Brandon Stokely?
Man, I'm doing great. Doing just great on a Monday. I don't know if I could be much better. Got a nice W on, what was it, Saturday night? Abs.
Big time.
Big time W. You know, had the whole crew in town, had the graduation deal. Yes. So all that, yes. You know, was all kind of weekend. All the Cajuns came up. My wife's family came from the West Coast over there in Cali, and so we had a big crew. Like I said, we had to cancel the party.
Right.
Unfortunately, Saturday ended up being perfect.
I was just going to say, any regret on that?
A little bit. Okay. But you know, you have to do that in advance. I mean, we had a DJ, had a taco truck coming, and all that stuff. And
right.
I wasn't going to put 75 people in my house. It was still a little chilly outside, but. It was all good because we had the family and everybody just kind of hanging out. So it ended up being fine. So it was a great weekend and, you know, got a good sweat in today, which is hard on Monday after, you know, 4 or 5 days of not doing anything. Got that sweat in today.
Good for
you.
I'm
feeling good, man. How are you doing?
Doing great. Doing great. We had a great weekend at the Bai household. A lot of it was like the first weekend we didn't have something like that we definitely had to do. T-ball's over. There was no dinner plans. There was no nothing. It was just chilling. We were planning on going to the grad party. So, yeah. But, you know, we were just like, you know, let's just put this thing in park and hang out. Had a great weekend. Watched a ton of sports and really highlighted on Saturday evening. I was just looking forward all day to Game 3, Avs Blues, in a game that we talked about the importance on Friday of stealing one of these next two in St. Louis. They did that out of the gate. And now you have an opportunity to hit them with an elbow drop and pile on.
Yeah, but it doesn't seem like you really care if they win the next one or not. I mean, that's just, you know, that was really disappointing, too, to me as your co-host.
What was disappointing?
Talk to me. Your tweet. Your okay. tweet after the game. Okay. And I got it pulled up because I knew right where we were going. Let's just get the party started now.
Sure.
There's the dagger. What an impressive response.
That was after the last empty netter.
Yeah, perfect. There's the dagger. You know, what an impressive response game from the Colorado Avalanche. They simply had to have one of these in St. Louis, which, you know, we talked about, and they really needed one bad. You couldn't be down 3-1. And I wasn't going to a must win. But it was as
which
close as you could.
Which
and
is crazy. Like, you were content going down 3-1.
I was.
You were content going down 3-1.
That was not my words at all. And then to finish, let me finish this tweet.
Okay.
To finish it, this was it. Mission accomplished. Now, why would you put mission? You know mission's not accomplished.
Mission's
of
not accomplished.
Of all people, of all people, you know it. Like, we are putting our foot on their throat. We're going for the jugular. All of those terms. Like, let's bury them. I don't want it to be 2-2 coming back to Colorado. We just saw, we just got whipped by them last time we were at Colorado. I don't want to be in that position again. Let's bury these guys. We got them on the rope. Don't give them life. It's the playoffs. We've struggled. And there you go, saying mission accomplished. Explain yourself and what happened to you.
Okay. Well, the number one goal of the two-game set in St. Louis was to take one of them. We agreed on that. You were like, it doesn't have to be the first one. It can be the second one.
Right.
And then you're like, it doesn't have to be either, actually. We can lose both and we'll still be fine.
I still felt like this team could come back from 3-1.
I said, if they go down 3-1, this series is over. You got to win three straight. And my explanation was, I don't have anything to draw from that would, with conviction, lead me to believe that they could win three straight if they went down 3-1. So it was a must win. One of the next two was a must win, in my opinion. You disagreed. I understood kind of what you were saying, although I just disagree with it. That the phrasing that I think that triggered you a little bit was mission accomplished.
Yes.
And in retrospect, see, I was in the moment. I was very excited.
We all were.
Cheering for the, I had my gear on at the house.
Yep.
Got my pocket behind it. I was just thrilled that they were able to cross the finish line. And I probably shouldn't have used the term mission accomplished because we're in mission 16.
Right.
And we have not had 16 W's yet.
Right.
So
nothing has been accomplished. So,
well, something has been accomplished.
And we want to thank our listeners in Castle Rock for making 104.3 The Fan part of your day. But, no, nothing has been accomplished here. So that's why, and you know that. Like, we're still in round two here. All we are is up
2-1.
That's it.
I got it.
I'm like, I got to compute this thing. I mean, mission accomplished, I thought we're up 3-0. Then you can kind of start going there if you want to.
Still can't.
But 2-1.
I got you.
You
help me. You help me because, you know, maybe you're better at Twitter than I am. How should I have ended that tweet?
There's the dagger. What an impressive response game from the Colorado Avalanche. They simply had to have one of these in St. Louis. Way to go, guys. Game four. Let's bury these guys.
Way to go.
Go Avs. Game four is... Let's focus on game four now. Time to bury these guys. Something like that. Like, you know, we got to keep this thing going. You got to think like if you're Bednar. What does Bednar tell? All right, we're putting that to bed.
Sure.
We're moving on. Sure. Let's go get this. We got these guys on the ropes. Their goalie's out. Water bottles.
Oh,
he's boo-hooing. Look, we got these guys. When you have them on the ropes, you got to knock them out. We got them on the ropes. This backup goalie, I don't even know his name, but let me tell you what. His confidence is shattered. He started the playoffs for these guys.
He did.
Right? He got pulled. So we got their quote-unquote backup goalie, and he didn't look good the other night. He was on the ropes early. So let's go ahead and bury these guys. We got a chance to really bury them if we can get the win and go out there and play well, and that will be tomorrow.
Tonight.
Monday night. I'm just losing track of days. You got every other day. Tonight.
And the backup goalie, Husso, who stopped 19 of 23, it's not ideal. He gave up four goals in a backup role.
A couple of them were trash goals.
Well, I'm not counting the empty netter. He was on the first to last one where he starts skating to the bench.
That was funny.
And that was Landeskog who iced the game. And you're like, whoa. Could you imagine the terror? You're like on your way to the bench. You're like, oh, my God, no, they're coming back. And I'm out of – that was hilarious.
What can you do? At that point, you're all in. It's desperation mode, right?
But here's the thing. If you're on the 6.5, you get that quote-unquote cheap goal and then an empty netter – it's like, oh, you went from...
Well, both of those are pretty much empty netters.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, they're both...
But the first one, the goalie's right in the frame. Like, he's trying to dive back into position. The second one, it's a true, authentic empty netter.
But those are both gimmies.
Yes.
I mean, they're both empty netters.
Yes.
So you can't put either one of those on it. But, if you have the over or if you have the puck line -1.5, all of that stuff, right? I mean, those are huge goals there because never throughout that game did I think the Avs were going to win by two or more goals.
Agreed. Same. Agreed.
And it started off shaky again. Right? And I'm like, oh, my gosh, what are we doing? And then in the second there at the end, you got the two-goal lead, and I'm telling my son, I'm just like, two and a half left in the second there. I'm telling my son, just let's hold on until the third. Don't give up a cheap goal here. Don't do it. And then you just saw a bad puck again, and it's just like, wow, here it comes. And then they scored. They got all the momentum. And I was nervous, man.
Well, it's how they scored. They friggin' broke us, like... Wait, what? So I had that moment. I'm like, yo, this is really happening? Like, you just fired a slap shot that broke a stick that wound up in the net. This is how we're starting this?
Right.
And I get the second round heebie-jeebies. like going from the back of my brain to the front of it. Like, yo, that's how they just scored a goal.
Yeah.
There's something weird here.
And they scored two of them off of deflections.
Correct.
Of our sticks in game two.
Off Manson and Gerard's
yes.
stick. Crazy. But it was what happened about midway through the first and then what happened after the game that has everyone talking, and we'll take a dive into that coming up next.
It's Mission 16W. Bring the cup home to Denver. Getting you set for tonight's Game 4 in St. Louis, powered by Superbook Sports. Here's Stokely and Zach.
There was two conversations happening after the Avs win in game three in St. Louis, 5-2. And I think you could argue, actually, it's probably inarguable that one conversation was bigger than the other. The Nazem Kadri conversation, there's a lot to unpack here. And the fact that, well, we can talk about if it's a fault of his own or not, but Kadri back in the headlines on the front page at ESPN yesterday, not because he scored a goal in a 5-2 game three win, but because of the play, how it went down, then what happened after the game, and then what happened even after that. You guys know it by now. Jordan Binnington, about 7 minutes into the game, into the first period, Kadri has a collision with Cale Rosen. They collide collectively into St. Louis goaltender Jordan Binnington. They get their skates kind of tangled up in the crease right as they make impact. Talk to me about the play at first. Did you think in any way, shape, or form it was a dirty play from Nazem Kadri?
No, not at all. I mean, you watch it and you can tell. I mean, he's kind of slowing down. He sees the deflection of the puck, and then he speeds back up, and he's trying to, you know, get a stick on it and try to make a play. Their guy kind of comes into him, and then it's a collision, and they both fall into the goalie. How is that a dirty play? I mean, the guy's trying to score a goal. It's just a sports play. It's an unfortunate play. That's the way I viewed it. I didn't see anything malicious or dirty, or there was no intent there. I mean, he wasn't full speed ahead and just ran into the goalie. He was kind of, you know, just kind of skating along, sees the puck get deflected, and goes for the puck. And then all of a sudden, their guy comes into him, and then there's a collision. They're kind of both off balance. They fall into the goalie. Look, it's unfortunate. Sometimes these things happen in sports. That's the way that I view it. I didn't see anything. There was no intent there or malicious to harm the goalie or to injure the goalie. How did you view the thing?
Full cosign in every aspect. I don't think this is a story at all. If any other Colorado Avalanche are involved with that play other than one guy, and that's Nazem Kadri. Like, literally, that's the origin. Even before the actual play, the origin is Kadri and his history specifically with the Blues. We remember his hit on a Falk last year in the playoffs. He gets a whopping 8 games. The first game of the season, he's got to drop the gloves in his first 5 seconds of his shift with Braden Schenn. Then the next game, first 5 seconds of his shift, he's got to fight Falk. And now here he is again in the middle of a controversy. Then you got, the Blues after the game didn't really, you know, they only kind of poured gas on it. You had the head coach saying, hey, the only thing, you know, his reputation speaks for itself type of deal. It's like, whoa. But when you actually look at the play, and someone on Reddit did this, and I'll try to circle back and find it and give him credit, but they did it like ballistic style, like how you would like measure a bullet for a police department or an investigator, you know, JFK magic bullet style, like, wow, what's the trajectory of this thing? How did it work? And Kadri's trajectory was not headed into Binnington. He sort of gets rerouted
right
into Binnington. And I just think he's playing hard as hell. And he wound up at the intersection of a really unfortunate play.
It's unfortunate. It happens. Both guys are competing. They're defensemen. I don't know who it was, but he's competing
yep.
to try to keep the puck out of the net.
Cale Rosen.
Yes, and there was a collision, and collisions happen, and things happen. You get out of control, and both guys, next thing you know, are on top of the goalie, and the goalie gets injured. It's just It's sports. It's unfortunate. That's the way I look at it. I don't see. I mean, there was no intent there. I mean, you can just tell there was no intent to injure the goalie.
And this is the last thing that Kadri wants.
That's it. That's it.
He doesn't want anything like this to happen.
He's been clean the first two games.
He has.
And you're exactly right.
This is Kadri after the game talking about the play itself.
I just see a loose puck, really. I mean, I was kind of just sitting behind him and just tried to poke it with my stick. And I think their, defenseman kind of collided with me and pushed me into him. So, you know, had that not been the case, I don't think I would have hit him at all. It's a loose puck. I'm just trying to bang it in.
Yeah, so I don't know, you know, what else needs to be said. Like you said, if it wasn't for his history, how much are we paying attention to this? How much are we talking about it? We're probably just saying, hey, man, gosh, that's a bummer. That stinks. Unlucky. This is sports, though. These things happen. Guys are playing ultra hard. They're competing.
Yep.
And, you know, the goalie's just in the way, and they just fall on top of the guy, and he gets his knees bent back, and
Here's the thing. It's easy. If you're a Blues fan, it's easy to maybe slow that thing down and, you know, try to find, you know, fault in Kadri. But here's the thing. And really, you know this because you've sat right on the glass. So you see how fast these guys go. When you're actually.
That was a shot.
It wasn't a shot.
That was a shot.
No, I'm using your experience and first person point of view as validating my point here.
You don't believe that I actually sat on the glass. That's what this comes back to. Like, you don't believe it. That's just unbelievable. Like, why would I make that up?
I'm totally needling you. Of course you sat on the glass.
No, you really don't believe me.
You were the first person ever to sit on the glass and didn't see a glare. It's okay.
All right.
But so no, but seriously, when you're there up close, you get an appreciation for how fast these guys are moving. That is you talk about a bang bang play. It's the definition of it. It's the definition of a bang bang play that no one wants to be a part of, by the way. Binnington's now done for the series. He's got a sprained knee. I mean, that may be actually like super beneficial to the Avalanche in an unfortunate way because, I mean, that guy's just been tremendous. So it's unfortunate.
Yeah, hopefully just 2 weeks and he's fine. Hey.
One of these things where just, it's like, it's unfortunate.
You don't want anyone to get injured.
But
if they do, you want it to be a minor injury just right. for a couple weeks and be healthy by the middle of June. Okay, how about that?
Perfect.
I got another analogy.
Okay,
been doing a lot of analogies here with the Avs to
your Colts.
The
teams.
Colts,
yes,
right,
which I love.
Yes, and I got another one that has to do with that. Just working out this morning on the elliptical, sweat, beer, ultras just pouring out of me, right? Gumbo just pouring out of
me,
right? And just thought of another one today. We'll circle back to it.
Okay.
Okay. But this one.
So you hype that up and don't want to give the analogy right now.
No, but this other one, I got two of them.
Okay.
Right? And that's to the Colts team. This one's to my Ravens team.
Okay.
Okay. We were playing the, you know, that team that just always underachieves in our division?
The Chargers?
No, the other one. The worst one. The worst one.
The worst Raiders. One.
The Raiders, you know that team? Well, we went all the way from Baltimore. Flew all the way out there to Oakland, pit hole of America, just awful place, awful. You like nowadays with social media, I mean, they're ringing down change on you when you're walking out of the tunnel. Like you have to put your helmet on.
Oh,
I mean this thing, like you know you got to tell your family members not to wear any Ravens gear.
Right.
I mean that
right.
kind of environment. Right.
Right.
Just bad place.
Which
bad
I
place.
Hate that a sporting event could be like that, but
right,
you're telling
like,
the truth.
Right. I'm like, where is security? I mean, I remember thinking, like, this is the NFL. Do they not have security in this place? Like, what is going on here? Anyway, so I'm telling my family, I'm like, man, I don't even know if y'all should go to the game. And if you do, don't wear any Raven stuff. Like, it's bad. Like, why should you have to do that? Anyway, there in the, I think it was the first or second quarter, Rich Gannon, their quarterback, drops back to pass. My buddy, Big Tony, Saragusa.
Mm.
Probably a little bit of late hit, but just kind of continued it. Put all 350 to 400 right on to Rich Gannon.
Oh, my God.
Rich Gannon's shoulder is never quite the same. Rich Gannon's out the game, right? Unfortunately, it happened, right? But we benefited from it in a big way. Rich ended up being okay.
Okay.
Just not that day.
Had a broken, the blue hen had a broken wing.
Yeah, just not that
Shout
day.
Shout out Delaware.
Yeah, there you go. It's so it's just part of sports.
you don't want him to be like hurt really, really bad. But if it helps your team a little bit, you just like, you, hey, how can you not help but just kind of give an under the table fist bump?
One of those.
Right?
I think that
you don't want to see anyone get hurt. I want them playing full speed. But if they do get hurt, hopefully it's a minor injury that only keeps them out a couple weeks.
This happened that benefited the Broncos in 2015.
2015, you talking about the playoffs?
Yep.
You're talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers?
I am.
You're talking about, is that Antonio Brown?
Yep, that's who I'm talking about.
Look at me.
I think it was Vontaze Burfict who had him going across the middle. Earlier in that season, no one on the Broncos could cover AB. He went for like literally 215 yards and two touchdowns. They didn't have to play him in the playoffs. The Steelers only scored 16 points on the way to a Super Bowl. So, again, we kind of got sidetracked, but you're right. Binnington being done. But now you got, like, what happened in the post game, though? And we're going to go just a second long here, D. What happened in the post game, like, he's in the middle. Nazem Kadri's in the middle. I couldn't believe it because I'm sitting there watching the TNT post game. And you hear something fly, you know, hit the. And then Kadri can't focus on the questions.
Right. And like when Dante talks into our ears.
it's like, he's like, wait, what? But I'm kind of paying attention to you, but like, something's going on over here that's like distracting me. I'm like, what the hell's going on? And then he says, I think he just threw a water bottle at me. And then you have someone from The Athletic reporting, yes, multiple sources. It was Jordan Binnington who threw a water bottle at Nazem Kadri in the post game.
Love it.
And you can't make this stuff up.
No.
Well, then the unfortunate part is now you have this, with the way that social media works, you can reach out to athletes directly. And apparently he's getting racist remarks and he's even getting death threats that has an enhanced police presence outside the Avalanche Hotel in St. Louis.
Yeah, just watch out. Don't watch out for the food. Watch out for the food. And look, it's unfortunate, but that's the way we are nowadays. A lot. That's how things go. But
it's too
bad. You got to go out there and you got to focus on game four tonight and try to bury him. Try to really bury him tonight. You got a great opportunity. Got the backup goalie in who was the starter to begin the playoffs, but he's a backup for a reason. He got pulled for a reason. Bury him early and take advantage of it.
Real quick, this is Kadri after the game talking about a water ball being a water bottle being thrown at him.
I think it was Binnington, but I mean, I was kind of a little tied up, so have to ask him. Yeah, I was doing the interview, so I wasn't quite sure, but yeah, I think it was him. I don't know for sure.
And then at the end of the interview on TNT, they say, are you guys like buddies? Like, are you guys okay? He's like, no, we're not.
Perfect.
And then he looks into the camera like, no, we're not.
I love it.
Well, here we go.
It's always good to have some beef.
Sure.
Right? You don't see that a lot anymore. Jimbo Fisher, Nick Saban. It's awesome.
Perfect.
Blues, Avs, Kadri, Blues. Let's go. Bury them tonight.
Absolutely love it. We'll make some predictions a little bit later in the show.
Even though you think their mission is accomplished and they can lose tonight, you're still going to be happy.
That was you. You were content being down 3-1. You said, let's roll the dice.
We were never down 3-1.
So that's
never down 2-1.
All right. Broncos begin phase three of OTAs today. And for the first time this offseason, it will look kind of like football. What are the storylines to watch for? Take a dive into it next.
It's Mission 16W. Bring the cup home to Denver. Getting you set for tonight's Game 4 in St. Louis. Powered by Superbook Sports. Here's Stokely and Zach.
Phase three of OTAs today. And for the first time this offseason, it will look kind of like football. You know, earlier in these, you know, offseason installments, you can't even get out on the field. And then you get to a point where you can get out on the field, but you can't go against, like, the defense, right? You can just do, like, by the way, remember a few weeks ago we're like, what does he mean RVA? He's like, he ran an RVA.
Yeah.
Do you ever figure that out?
No.
Routes versus air.
Oh, routes versus air.
I forget. I thought a footballer guy like yourself would pick up on that. But
well, none of the coaches that ever was around said RVA. They always said routes versus air. We just said routes versus air.
I thought you were a deducer.
Yeah, normally I am a deducer, and I'll work harder and better at that for you, Zach. Who told you that?
Like a million listeners.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Oh. Perfect. Hey, I don't claim to know it all.
No,
you know, unlike you.
No, I... Stop. All right. I say it'll look kind of like football, Stoke, because you can go 11 on 11.
Right.
Yeah, offense versus defense. Are people
so
getting...
just routes versus air is what it says, people. You know, just for people that don't know, it's you go out there and it's quarterback, it's wide receivers, and you're running routes versus air. There's no defenders.
No defenders.
There's no defense.
And now there can be.
I thought you would explain it after, you know, you're bragging, you're doing your congratulatory lap around bragging about patting yourself on the back, but you got to follow through with it and explain it.
I just didn't think we needed to explain routes first, Sarah, if we have a highbrow audience.
Have you looked at our RamosLaw.com text line?
It can get a little bit shaky.
We need to explain it to some people.
Touche. Well, you can go 11 on 11 this week, and will it be full football? No. Will it be the closest representation to football we've had up until this point? Yeah. And there's a handful of storylines to watch. And I think that right at the top of the list, and I think the number one storyline is the new quarterback, Russell Wilson. But like the other layer beyond that, I think arguably the next biggest storyline is who will emerge as Russell Wilson's top target. And I think maybe today we get a clue or two on that.
Yeah, on the football field, you know, when you take the coaches out of it, there's a lot of storylines with these coaches. I mean, you've done a good job of documenting. None of these guys have ever done their position that they're in. All the most important positions, head coach, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, special teams coordinator.
Literally 4 for 4.
None of them have done this job before, which is fine. You know, it's that doesn't mean it's going to be a bad thing, but there will be growing pains along the way. There will be a lot of learning along the way. But when you take all those coaches out of it and you just look at the football team, and Russell Wilson, obviously big storyline. But after that, yeah, it's, hey, who's going to be his guy? This receiver room is pretty full. I mean, there's no all pros in that room, right? There's no all pros there.
No.
It's not like we got a top five receiver, but we got some solid receivers and you know, we're trying to see who that guy's going to be now. Is it going to be Jerry Jeudy? Is he going to emerge as that guy? Is Sutton going to look like a different player now that he shed that knee brace? Oh, by the way, we just have Mr. Consistent and Tim Patrick.
Right.
KJ Hamler coming off that ACL. You know, the high expectation for him. So there's a lot of storylines there. And who's going to be the guy? Who's going to be, ready for this? Russell Wilson's boo. Is boo. Who's going to be that guy? That security blanket. I was to Peyton Manning. We all know that, right? Who's going to be Stokely to Manning? Who's going to be that guy? It just happened. It just felt good, and it just happened, Zach.
Didn't sound good. Didn't hit my ears right.
No? So Peyton came by the house. The one guy came by the house. How about that? Shout out to him. I wasn't expecting it, and he called me.
I didn't like it. Continue with your story. I'll tell you why I don't like it in a second. Go ahead.
Oh, you're down on Peyton now. You're down on Peyton. You're not going to get an invite. I'm just telling you. Okay, be careful with what you say, because he's probably listening, and he's gonna hold you accountable.
That's fine.
No,
but
no,
go ahead. Seriously.
Got a call on Saturday. Just kind of sitting. I was on the patio by myself. You know, having a cold one. Stogie gonna like enjoy the day. It's like the party's ruined. Right, no party anymore. My son's graduation party. He called. I'm like, you know, what's up? He's like, you're at the house. I'm like, yeah. He's like, okay, I'm coming by. Perfect. Brought a nice little gift for Cameron.
That's awesome.
And had a handwritten note. You know, like you saw the Peyton Manning special. I forgot what it was for, but they came in. Gatorade did it, I think, and they showed all his retirement notes that he wrote.
Right,
and he
right,
wrote my he
right.
wrote me one. And so they had a bunch of them, but it was just kind of like that. And he wrote one to Cameron, which was really, really cool.
Special.
But he spent, you know, probably 45 minutes to an hour just hanging out at the house. So I thought that was really, really nice and thoughtful of him to
Very
do that.
Much so.
Now, why are you down on him again?
So I saw this because your wife posted a picture on Instagram of the two. And my wife, Ashley, was like, oh, look, it's like Peyton still went. And I don't like it. I don't like it. You know why.
Because you didn't.
Because the party was canceled.
Right.
He comes because he's already planning on being there anyway. So he gets to pay off, you know, the gift and the awesome special moment. And then when you have the party, the party, it's optional for him because he's already sort of been there and was at the graduation day, and that means me and my family don't get to see him.
Oh, gotcha.
Ashley really wants to meet him.
Yeah, gotcha. It was cool for, like, a lot of my family. My sisters have met him before, but they were there.
Sure.
My wife had some of her family there that got to meet him. So that was really, really cool. Of course, on his way out, I had him sign a couple jerseys, a couple balls.
Just mooching.
Always mooching off of him. But that was really, really cool of him to come by.
Yeah, really.
Very thoughtful of him to do that. And just, you know, it meant a lot to my son.
That's great. That's who he is.
Yeah.
That's who he is. I'm glad your son had that moment. Really cool.
But, you know, I mean, you're right. To get back full circle here, the Broncos, who's going to be that guy?
And we started this time last year. See, this is why no one can say, oh, it's, you know, OTAs don't. This time last year, we started to see a connection forming between Teddy Bridgewater and Jerry Jeudy.
And it was cut short.
Yes.
Because in the first half of the first game, he had the high ankle sprain. He missed 6-7 weeks, whatever it was.
Yep.
So we never got to really see it, but we knew it was happening, and it showed itself in the first half.
72 yards in the first half. He looked – it was a real connection. You're saying the first game he was on pace for, you know, 140 yards out of the gate.
Right.
Like, that's what the stats said. That's what your eyes said. And that started right now.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see some of the details coming out from OTAs. We're going to continue to look at this from different angles throughout the day here in terms of some of the biggest storylines, and I can't wait to continue to comb through those. But in the meantime, momentum is building for one of the brightest minds in Denver sports to not just be leaving town, but to becoming the enemy. Take a dive into it next.
It's Mission 16W. Bring the cup home to Denver. Getting you set for tonight's Game 4 in St. Louis. Powered by Superbook Sports. Here's Stokely and Zach.
Is building for one of the brightest minds in Denver sports to not just be leaving, but to become the neighbor of the team that they're leaving. It's like if you get a divorce and then your spouse moves next door to you. That'd be weird.
Ooh.
Right? You see your mind going into a dark place.
Did you have a prenup or not? I told you about that.
You did. I'm talking, of course, about Nuggets president of basketball operations, Tim Connelly. The story was breaking last week that Connelly was meeting with Timberwolves officials. Now, over the weekend, Adrian Wojnarowski puts out, according to ESPN sources, Denver Nuggets president Tim Connelly is traveling to meet with Minnesota owner Glenn Taylor this weekend in what's the next step in the Timberwolves' pursuit to hire Connelly and make him one of the league's highest paid or highest compensated executives. Wojnarowski went on to say, Connelly's discussed the job extensively with minority owners Mark Lohr and Alex Rodriguez.
Hey, Rod.
And an in-person meeting with Taylor is the next step in the process, sources said. Minnesota's attempting a massive hire of a top league executive that would transform the face of the organization, end quote. Mike Singer, the Denver Post, replying to this news, saying news came out Wednesday night tying Tim to Minnesota. It didn't come out of nowhere. There had been interest for a while, and it was discussed while the group was in Serbia. The Nuggets and the Kroenkes have had ample time to address and or counter. It doesn't look like they're going to, end quote. Wow.
Yeah, you know, just first reaction is bummer. You know, we are big Tim Connelly fans.
I think you speak for everyone when you say that.
Yeah, it's just, it stinks. I mean, you're hoping to kind of keep that guy here for a long, long time. I mean, he's been a big part of how the Nuggets were built, what the team that we followed, Jokic being here, you know, back-to-back MVPs, being able to watch that, how cool it's been, how much fun it's been. He's been the architect of all of that.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, it would really, really stink. At the same time, you know, being a big fan of Tim Conley's, you just wish him the best. And if it's
you know, if he's going to Minnesota, he's going to make a bunch of money. He's going to, you know, I don't know the other perks that he'll get.
The rumor is like top three highest paid executive in the NBA.
Yeah,
like
so it's
in the range of, you're talking like $8-9 million. We don't know exactly what Tim Connolly's compensation is. It would undoubtedly double it.
Right.
It may triple it.
Yeah. So how can you pass that up? How can you pass that up? And, you know, sometimes things run its course, right? All good things come to an end. You would hate to see it happen here, but it looks like where this thing is going, that it's probably game over here for Tim Connolly. You hope you have some guys waiting in the wings that can take that over. We had a scare a few years ago with the Washington
Wizards
basketball team,
yep,
over there.
Yep.
And
that was his home. That's the organization he came up in.
Right. But he stayed. They gave him a promotion. But it just kind of looks like it's probably run its course here now. And, you know, when you have an executive like that that's done as much as he's done and found some of the talent that he's found, you know, if you're not willing to pay him that type of money, he's probably going to go at some point. And it's hard to turn that down if you're Tim Connolly. You just can't.
So that's the thing. Like, from Tim Connolly's standpoint, Tim's makes good money, right? He makes millions of dollars a year. But it doesn't matter. You're only walking in the shoes that you're in, and it's all relative. So if anyone came and said, hey, you could do the same job, we're going to double or even triple your income, I think to a man, we would all take that opportunity. The other end of it is that Connolly should be valued in such a way here by ownership that they should be willing to pony up to, at least if it's not pay it dollar for dollar, which that you can make that argument too, it's to get closer to the top 10, top five number. And it just doesn't sound like they're willing to do that. And I know a lot of Nuggets Nation, I'll raise my own hand, is like, hey, you have a special talent evaluator. And in Denver, the number one attribute for someone who does that job is to identify talent in the draft, because you're not going to get it anywhere else. He has that in spades. He's also built such a culture here that it's really top down from him, tied through relationships with the coach, with your star MVP player. And I think he's worth his weight in gold. And I wish that Josh Kroenke would step up and sort of answer the call and compensate him the way that, you know, more than half the league would be willing to.
Yeah, I don't know the finances. I don't know what he's making now. And, you know, all the details of it, it would be a bummer to see him leave. But like I said, sometimes, you know, as an organization, you know, which you look at the Nuggets, you look at the Broncos, like you have a certain threshold of what you want to spend on certain positions, how much you're going to spend, and that's kind of where you're at, right? I mean, could they do it if they wanted to? I'm sure they could, but, you know, you have a structure there in any kind of business or organization where you say, hey, this is what we're going to pay, this is what we're going to do. And if he goes out and finds a better deal somewhere else, and it's like, okay, we got to find the next Tim Connolly. That's kind of where you're at, and that's the way it seems like this thing is heading and this thing is going here with Tim Connolly. And would it be a bummer? Yeah, it'd be a big bummer because the guy's been great here.
He's been great. And the thing that is bothersome to me, I'll only speak for myself here, that you're so close to seeing the picture that he's put together sharpen. Like you're hopefully going to see this trajectory or this forecast come into focus right before our eyes. And to have it... Because here's the thing, Stoke, the next guy who gets hired for that job, whether it's Calvin Booth or someone else, their vision might not be the same vision. You know, their view on it, each personnel might not be the same. Now, you could say, hey, maybe that's a good thing. Maybe he'll say, hey, you know, I have no allegiance to Will Barton. We're going to make a move. But also, I just think that, I just hate the story.
No,
I
hear
do.
You.
I
mean,
it.
This is not what you want. You want to continue this process. But at the same time, like you said, whoever you're going to hire, I mean, you have a general manager, right? I mean, the Nuggets have a general manager.
They do. New and experienced.
Yeah, but you know, who's calling the shots? Tim Connolly's calling the shots, right? We
right,
know that.
Right, right.
So at the same time, like, you have a guy that's worked under Tim Connolly that kind of has been around here. The next guy that you hire to be, you know, what the president?
Mm-hmm.
They
don't even have to hire a president. They can, because there was no president, so they made him the president. He was just
there
the GM.
There you go. So, you just hope the vision is probably shared here, right, with the general manager who is
Calvin Booth.
Calvin Booth, the former player, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You just hope it's will everything be done the same? No. But, you know, he's got to do it his way, whoever the next guy is going to be, if there is a next guy, which we're kind of expecting. He's got to do it his way, but at the same time, you got the pieces in place. Just don't screw it up. But I think when you take a step back, yeah, is it a bummer? Yeah, but that's how things work. You know, when
that's
you
how things work if you don't want to pay the guy what other teams are willing to pay him.
Yeah, exactly.
And the fact that, so he's going to be in division. He's going to be in the same division as the Nuggets. There's just something about it that's just like, oh my gosh, I want to take a shower.
Yeah. But, you know, for me, that some things just run its course. And if another team is going to be willing, and not just double or triple, but I think when you look at it, you know, you say, well, okay, he's going to be making 8, 9, maybe $10 million a year, but it's how many years is it? You know, it's fully guaranteed. That's the thing. So if you look at a 7-year contract, now you're talking about around $70 million fully guaranteed. It's a big difference than, you know, okay, I don't know what his contract looks here. Maybe he has 2 or 3 more years left on it. Now you're going to get a seven or eight year.
This was his final year as an option year. So it's like, again, that brought up another conversation of like, hey, why did you wait? Why didn't we extend Tim Connelly last year? You know what I mean? It's like the timeline.
And we don't know why. Maybe he didn't want to. Maybe he's looking for a new chapter, new experience. I mean, you know, you were supposed to get him on here throughout the year. You kept on saying, well, I'll get him on, but you never delivered. He ended up going on, I think, with the drive or whatever. So maybe you can get him on and we can chat about it.
Maybe you can get him on.
Well,
are you going to wait till you see him at the Christmas party to talk to him?
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know.
We have the spread for every game on the Broncos' schedule. How many times are they favored? And Stoke, you talk about times of changing around here. You are never going to find a bigger.
Do you want me to get him?
Yes, I do. Get Tim Connelly on the show.
Gosh, you failed us.
How many times are the Broncos favored? And you talk about times of changing. I have a stat that illustrates it perfectly, and we'll hand it to you coming up next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 1043thefan.com.